God has given us this ability to remember. And most times, remembering is a good thing, right? There are some things that we wish we could forget, and we wish we couldn't remember, or that we wish others wouldn't remember. I have a few stories that get told on me, and that I wish some people would forget, but they don't, and they keep remembering. It is not my wife. She is good at forgetting. It is my siblings that like to remember. And now I can remember things about them too, so it's fair play. But to remember. And it's interesting because we come to this communion table, and we're going to look at this aspect to remember, because we are told to do this in remembrance. But why is it that we keep coming to the communion table? Is it because you and I forget the story of Jesus? Probably not. Is it because the bread and the cup something magically happens? No. It is because we are the ones who need to be changed. And there is something about this communion table that as we take it, it gives us an opportunity to be changed, to be transformed into who Christ has created us to be. So in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul doesn't simply instruct the church to eat and drink. He invites them into something deeper, something greater, something that is so sacred. It is a rhythm to remember. It is a practice that grounds our identity, reforms our relationships, orientates our heart. I really believe that this is what the communion table gives us an opportunity to do. And so Paul says, this is what I received from the Lord, and I pass it on to you. And that's what we're doing. We're passing it on. Paul says this meal is not a throwaway tradition. It's a proclamation. It's a rhythm. And in some ways, it's a revolution, because it is changing us and transforming us. So I have three quick points I want to make to draw us in. The first is remembering is a spiritual practice. To remember the things of the Lord is a spiritual practice. That's why I hope that each morning you get up in the morning and you pause at some point in your time in the morning and you engage with God to remember. To remember what? Well, I think one is that He woke you up today. He woke you up today. Not your alarm. Although your alarm had something to do with it, but really your eyes open because God said, hey, I want you to be part of this day, my day that I created. And that is you start off to remember that He is the one who gives you breath to breathe. He is the one who's created you. I think in our modern culture, remembering is primarily a mental recall, attempting to jog our memory, such as recalling the password or an anniversary. But what's interesting is that if you could dial it way, way back when you know, go back into your Bible, so just grab some of the Old Testament pages if you have your Bible. If you don't have one of these physical things, I would encourage you to get one. They're fantastic. But you go back here into this part here and you hold on to it, and somehow that part there could just translate up through your arm and into your brain, and you could see how they were functioning and they were working back then. Remembering was such an important part of what they did. It wasn't just to recall a story, although that's what they did. It was to remember the truths of God. Remember, when you read in the Old Testament how when they went into the Promised Land, what did they do? God dried up the river, the Jordan River, and God told them to do what? He says, go and grab 12 large stones and build them up on the other side into the Promised Land. And I would imagine that these were not just these little things. I'm thinking in my mind that there is something quite huge. And maybe it took two or three people to move these. Do you hear I said people? I didn't want to discriminate. People to move these. and to set them down. And it was a monument. And God says, this is why. Why did he want them to do it? Someone. To remember. And who was to remember? The what? We. It's actually so the generation behind you would remember. I think that's fascinating. The generation behind would remember what God has done. We're doing this. We're the generation behind the cross, the resurrection, and we are remembering. So for the Old Testament, when they remembered, they were remembering these details and recalling. They didn't have the iPad to play back the movie. They didn't have the paper even to reread this. They were verbally retelling the story and had symbols to remember what God had done. And this is our symbol to remember what Jesus has done. It is a concept that I think is sometimes complex and yet profound. And in the day and age in which remembering is not the same, I would call us to remember, to think, to ponder, to, in your mind's eye, what Christ has done and why he has done it. To remember. It's interesting because communion causes us to go back to remember, brings us into the present of what he is doing right now, and ushers us into the future of what is to come. Isn't that crazy? This one thing right here takes us back to Christ, which brings us into the present and moves us to what is to come. All in one. And that's what we're remembering. Way beyond just a tradition, a habit. I want to try to bring us into the place that we are remembering. That's why this isn't optional. It's not optional. We should not forget. So we need to return to the table, not to earn grace, but to remember who we are and who he is and who we are in him. All right, secondly, what is also the communion table does? I think the second thing it does is it calls us to unity. Yes, us into unity. Communion is a call to remember. Communion is a call for the church to be in unity. If you look prior to our passage in 1 Corinthians 11, you'll see that Paul is bringing this up not because, well, I'm going to give you a happy instruction. It's because the church was struggling to be unified. The church was struggling to be one. People were coming ahead, and they were coming together to have a meal, a physical meal, and then they took that meal, and they ate that meal, and they didn't invite everybody to come. Some people were left out. And Paul says, this communion table leaves nobody out because it represents Jesus who left no one out. All are welcome to come to him. Everybody welcome to come to him. And he says to them, listen, you are not practicing communion the way that Jesus Christ desires for it to be practiced. He desires that it's practiced in unity together. And as community is such an individual thing in some ways, but it's a communal thing in another way. We're taking one piece of matzah today. You get matzah or a rice cracker. We get the holy crunch in a little bit. It comes from one piece or one package. Individually out, but it's one. The body of Christ is one, not many. You know, I look here and I know some of your faces and many faces I don't know. And I look out here, same thing. You go to another church, some of you, and yet you're sitting here today, and guess what? We are the body of Christ. We're doing something together. Even as strangers, we're still doing something together, which represents one Christ. You and I do not come to Jesus in a different way. We all come the same way to God, through Jesus Christ. And that's what we are celebrating, this oneness. And so we need to turn to the Lord's table and look at it as a family supper, not in a means of division. Eugene Peterson says this. He says, the Lord's Supper is a great leveler. We all come hungry, broken, and needing grace. Whether you're a longtime elder in the church or a brand new believer, whether you're wealthy or you're struggling to pay rent, whether you are great, if you are weak and you feel a mess, or whether this week has been wonderful, we all come to the table needing Jesus. There is no VIP seating at this table. We're all coming the same in unity. And so I want to invite us to come. Communion, koinonia, fellowship, sharing. It wasn't just the bread and wine they were coming for, it was belonging. And I want to say to you, whether you are someone who you feel very connected to this church, or you feel very distanced from this church, I want you to know that you belong. You belong. So here's the third part that this table does. And it comes in the last part of what Carmen read. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as we take this bread and we take this cup, the third thing is that the table preaches the gospel. It's a proclamation. When you take it, you are proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. You are proclaiming that through Jesus, your sins are forgiven. You are proclaiming that you believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we're proclaiming. You are proclaiming that. And so the word proclaim, it is powerful. Communion is this not about remembering, it's about preaching. We proclaim the cross that Jesus died. We proclaim our need, that we are sinners saved by grace, and we proclaim the hope that he is coming again. To eat the bread and drink the cup is to lean forward into the coming kingdom. That means that every time we take communion, we are like time travelers. We're traveling forward. Well, we travel back, we travel forward, and we're in the present. We look back at the cross. We look at the kingdom of God's grace today, and we're looking for the return of the King. So communion reminds us that this world is not our home. And here's the thing, death is not the end. Let me ask you this. Are you really going to die? Are you really going to die? No. This here dies. Now, you all here, you inspire me as I look at you. You're young, you're full of energy, dreams. And this body really doesn't betray you much? No. I mean, you get tired once in a while, right? And you might break a bone and it mends. Some of you out there, does this body betray you a bit? Yeah. This is not to discourage you. Matter of fact, you can't do anything about getting old. It just happens to you. But getting old is actually a wonderful thing. It just means I am closer to more life than I've ever been. Yeah. Not more death than I've ever been. More life than I will ever be. It was D.L. Moody that says, listen, one day you're going to read in the paper that I have died. Don't believe it, he says. I'll be more alive than I've ever been before. And this is proclaiming life, not death. That's what this table is about. We are proclaiming life. Why do you want to hold it in? Why do you not want to tell people about the life you have in Christ? That's what we're doing, proclaiming. So we're remembering, right? We're remembering what Christ has done, which is beautiful. We're doing it in unity together, and then we are proclaiming what he has done. Remembering, we're proclaiming, and in the midst of between it, what are we doing? Huh. We are doing it in unity. So, what are the requirements? Who can come to this table? It has been put this way by the Lord himself. All who are welcome to come, who know me as Savior and Lord. All are welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church. You're welcome to come. It also says that you're welcome to come if you have nothing against anybody. And sometimes we come and we have conflict. And this isn't that you have conflict and you can't resolve it, you've tried to and you can't resolve it, and you go, well, I can't come. No, this is about being right with God. And saying, God, I confess to you that I'm not right. That maybe my heart is not right. Maybe I have done things, said things that are not right. And I confess that. Maybe it is that today is your day. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. I'm going to invite the team up here at this time. And I'm just going to pray. And as I do, and when I finish that, I'll give us some instructions for coming and taking communion. But will you join me as I pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you that this was an instruction that you gave us. You invited us and called us and ushered into the church to remember that you came to this earth, that you lived a sinless life, that you died for our sins. Lord, not just that we can go to heaven, but Lord, that heaven can be in us, transforming us and changing us today. So God, I pray for those that are sitting here, or maybe they are online, and they have yet to surrender and proclaim you as Savior and Lord. But maybe today is it. Maybe today is the day that they just say, I am ready to give to you this life of mine, that I might enter into your life, God. Lord, that they would say to you, Lord, I don't know all that is involved, but I'm ready to trust. I'm ready to start down that journey with you. So forgive me of my sins. And come and begin to transform my heart. And Father, for those that sit here today, and it's been a tough week, maybe for some, sin has captured them, grabbed a hold of them, and they just need a moment to come and confess before you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.